ask that you bless this and that you it would accomplish all that you ordained it to do. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a few weeks ago, well, actually today we're going to continue on the parables. So a few weeks ago we talked about the end times and we looked at Matthew chapter 24 and the first 14 verses and how the signs, we're to read the signs of the time so that we know the end is coming. But remember, I said we're not to focus on those signs and be worried about what's going out on there too much, but worry about what's on inside of us. It's a warning for us to get ourselves ready. At the end of chapter 24, it tells us to keep watch and don't, because we don't know the hour or the day when the Lord is coming. And then Jesus finally talks about in that chapter about faithful servants. And he's talking about people that he can trust and give responsibility to of managing and feeding his household while he's away. And when he returns, and if he finds that the servants have done a good job, there'll be a reward. Be really good for you all to read that yourselves. It's quite enlightening, and we need to take heed of these things. But if when he returns, he finds that things are not in order because of us mistreating other servants and unrighteous living, then he says he will assign them to a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's not a place where any of us want to go. But we really do need to take these scriptures seriously, because there is a warning for us to be ready and to stay ready. And while we're waiting, he expects us to take good care of others and do good. Then we looked at the parable of the 10 virgins. Remember, in this day and age, we would call them the bridesmaids. Five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. The wise ones were prepared. They done extra and they were prepared that there might be a waiting period. And so they were ready with their extra oil. But the foolish ones were not wise. They did nothing extra. They were not prepared for the waiting period. They had to duck off and get more oil. But that's when the bridegroom came back and the doors were locked. And the five foolish were locked out. They were locked out for eternity. And it's not really just about sitting around waiting either. And we're going to look at that today as well. Again, it's a warning to be ready and stay ready. And we are living in difficult times right now where the Bible says watch and pray. And it really means to live carefully, because the devil roams around like a lion roaring and seeking whom he may devour. But you don't have to let it be you. We're supposed to be partners with God and learn how to hear from God and to do the right thing at the right time. And so in these messages of the three parables, they're all kind of the same. They're saying the same thing, just in a different way. It's all about doing what doing what we should be doing and not putting things off as to lose our reward. Now, we don't earn our way to heaven. Let's make that clear. We don't earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift given completely by the grace of God, and it's offered to all. Jesus has already paid the price of your salvation. So if you've never received Christ into your life, there is a free gift waiting for you today, and you just have to ask. You don't have to go out and make yourself better in order to deserve it. It's a free gift waiting for you. I wonder how many people have just thought they're not good enough to accept this gift. But it's for you. It's for you personally. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's not about that. But once a person receives this gift and is what we call born again, we receive a new nature. We receive the nature of God and the Spirit of God. And we receive the heart of God. In Ezekiel, the Bible says that he can take a stony, cold heart out of us and give us a heart of flesh, one that is sensitive to the touch of God. So I believe that anybody that is truly born again, and that just doesn't mean you go to church Sunday, it means now that your life should be all about God and what he desires for you. And then there are good works to consider. James says that without faith, works is dead. And we don't work for our salvation, but if we are truly saved and we have the heart of God, Wouldn't we want to do good things? The devil always wants to stop us, remember that. And in case you haven't figured it out, the devil hates you. And especially when you try to do something good and step out. Paul reminds us in, I think it's Romans, and he says, when I want to do good, evil always comes up. So often there's a bit of fighting the devil, so to speak. But we have already everything within us for that fight and to know how to fight right. But the parables teach us that it's very important to use what God has given us. So we're going to read some scripture, if Jean's got that. And it starts off in Matthew 25. There we go. The parable of the three servants. Some scriptures say the parable of the talents, and that's true too. But I love the fact that we're talking about us as servants and doing the best thing with what we've been given. So let's have a look at these scriptures, verse 14 to start. And this is Jesus talking. And again, a parable is a story. This isn't a true story, but he's using it as an example to us. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his wealth. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. That's really important. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once. It's another thing to take note. And put his money to work, and he gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. That was verse 18. We're just going to stop there for a tick. So the three servants, they receive different amounts. And that's exactly what God has done with us. We all receive from God. Everyone has a gift. And we are given what we can handle. We don't all get the same gift. And we don't all get what someone else has got. And that's fine. That's okay. You should be grateful that you're only given what you can handle, because if you are given a lot more, then God will expect more from you. I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus has also entrusted us with his reputation. That is a responsibility. And you may be the only Jesus that your neighbours will ever see. So what kind of Jesus are they seeing? Are they seeing fruit in your life? And God puts gifts in other people for us to enjoy, not to be jealous of. I don't want someone else's gift. I'm busy enough using my own. So verse 15 said that he went on his journey. Now this is what I think it would be like. It would be like me saying, okay, church, I'm going away for a time. I'm not quite sure when I'm coming back. We've just got a new caravan and we're going to chuff off. But while I'm gone, Royce, I want you to run the coffee machine and make coffees for everybody in the morning. Rosie, you can take the worship team on and you can lead sing. Craig, I can hear Janet laughing already. Craig, you can run the sound desk and the computer. But you know, that's ridiculous. I'd come back and there wouldn't be too many of you left because Royce doesn't even drink coffee and probably can't even make a decent cup of coffee and probably doesn't even know how to use the machine. Rosie, she's great at leading worship in the back row with Steve and Andy and anyone up the back. She's fantastic. But I don't know that she'd go okay up the front. I think she'd probably run and hide. No, because she makes perfect coffee. And I don't think that Craig would be the right person. I can hear Janet going, lol, lol, lol. he wouldn't be the right person on the sound desk. He probably doesn't even know how to use anything technical like that. But he's fantastic at teaching our children about God. And Royce is amazing and been so faithful in leading our sound desk. We all have different abilities, and that's what makes the church run. Each serving in the different gifts that God has given us. And you know what? You don't have to feel bad if you don't have the same ability as someone else. You're not responsible for anything except what God has given you to be responsible for. That's fantastic, isn't it? Amen to that. And God anoints people when they're using their gift. And if he's called you to do a particular job, you might think, oh, I don't think I can do that. But God will anoint you and he will sustain you for that job. I know that personally because I used to say, God, I cannot. How can I do this? How can I run a church? How can I lead? And God said, well, I know you can't without my help. And I've called you and I'm going to anoint you and I'm going to entrust you to this role. And he has. And I cannot take any credit for what he has done in this place, I tell you. All the glory belongs to him and he is building his church. And you are the most amazing group of people and I'm so honoured that he's given me this role. And I want to thank my husband because I couldn't do what I do if he didn't give me the grace and space to go and see people or do what I do, spend time in the office preparing messages, etc. And that's the thing. We need to release sometimes our spouses to do things. And he's out there doing his own thing and helping people too. But you know what? If you will do what you're responsible for, you will always have joy. And you know, it's really none of anyone's business why God chooses one over another. All we need to do is be sweet little sheep and just do the part that God's given us. Just relax and don't ever try to be somebody or something that you're not. It's just okay. So whatever God has given you, whether it's a blessing or a challenge or a responsibility, God will give you the ability to handle it. He always gives you grace for your place. I saw a little saying the other day. It said, you've been assigned this mountain to show others that it can be moved. And that's how people are going to know that God is real these days, by our faith and by the way we have joy when it's not joyous out there. And when we're showing the fruit in our life, that's when people are going to say and see, wow, there must be something real about God and about those people and the church they go to. Okay. So it's pretty obvious why he gave the first man 5 pieces of gold and the last man only 1, because he knew who would do well with their talent. And God tests our faithfulness. He starts by giving us something small, and if we're faithful, he'll give us more. I can remember when I started a ladies group here 20-something years ago. I used to have it at my house on a Tuesday morning before I'd go off to work in the bank at midday. And we used to call ourselves God's Gorgeous Girls. There was 4 of us, and there was 4 of us for quite a while. And I was just faithful in that. And then once the church was built here and the building opened up, the group did grow. But God entrusted me with more because I was faithful with the small. Let's go on and read verses 19 onwards. Okay. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. I love that. He's coming back, church, to settle accounts. So the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Wow, I love that. To share in our master's happiness. It's just more about that, as much as that, as it is about our reward, to share in happiness. Verse 22. And the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, but see, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. So what we really want is to be happy. Everybody is shopping, trying to buy a little happiness here and there. But we're only going to be truly happy if we're doing the part that God has given us to do to the best of our ability and not be concerned about anyone else's. So after a long time, the master returned, it said, and it was the same with the 10 virgins. There was time before the master shows up. Verse 24. The man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out, and I hid your gold in the ground. See here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed." Let's stop there for a sec and talk about that. Jesus called him wicked because he hadn't done anything with what he had. I don't know about you, but I don't want to risk God saying to me when I meet him, "Well, Julie, what did you do with the time and the gifts that I've given you?" I certainly would not want to hear, "You wicked, lazy servant." I mean, this is serious stuff. This guy had a wrong idea about God. He said, "I was afraid of you and I thought you were a hard master." But if you know God, you would know that you don't have to be afraid of him. You can step out and you can try. And you know what? If you fail, you're normal. You're just like the rest of us. This last man was thinking only of himself, and he hoped to play it safe and to protect himself from his hard master. But he was judged for his self-centeredness. And we must not make excuses to avoid doing what God calls us to do. If God truly is our master, we must obey willingly. Our time, our abilities, and our money aren't ours in the first place. We're actually caretakers, not owners. When we ignore, squander, or abuse what we've been given, we will lose our reward. There are so many hurting people out there that need help. And, you know, the best kind of spiritual warfare that you can do is the warfare of love. I go to Batemans Bay and I go and see Gail, beautiful Gail, who's up there somewhere, because I love Gail. And I go out there and I see all these amazing older people. Some of them have people for visit, some of them don't. I go to Maruya and to IRT and I visit Brenda. And again, there's so many lonely people that would just love a little chat. This homeless showers situation is quite a crisis. Could you imagine yourself not being able to shower at all, not having anywhere to go for a shower? There are so many things that we could be doing, just simple things, loving people and showing them that we care. And the two of the most important things the Bible says is faith and love. We can continue strong in our faith and we're to walk in love. And one of my favourite scriptures is in Psalm 37, which I haven't got for you, but it talks about all the evil people and it says, "Don't worry about them. Don't worry about all the evil in the world. Trust in the Lord and do good." And wait patiently, it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. So if we just concentrate on that, you'll have a great life. You don't have to get up every day worrying about everything that's going on in the world. You don't have to be jealous with other people, with what others have and what you don't have. You just need to get up every day, trust God and do good. So let's just look at verse 28. Thanks, Royce. Yep, 28. And we'll go from there again. So Jesus says, "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more." See, if you're not faithful with something, it'll be given to someone else. "And they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Again, that's pretty scary to think that we could be thrown out because we didn't use the gift that God gave us. And then we go on and we talk about the third parable, which is the sheep and the goats. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And in the Bible, the right hand always is the side of power, because Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 34. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Wow, that's powerful. You know, people say, "I really want to see God," but you know what? God is in us. It's the God in us that we need to be showing. And you know what? He is really interested, God is, in how we treat people. Nothing grieves God more than we as Christians mistreat other people, when we belittle them or be rude to them or have no time for them. If you want to put a smile on God's face, put a smile on someone else's face. Now, the sheep and the goats are very different in nature. Apparently, goats are more intelligent, but sheep are sweeter. I would rather have people around me that may be not so talented, but they have a really good heart, than somebody that is brilliant, that has a stinking attitude. Goats are stubborn and headbutt their way through life. Let's look at the last few verses as we finish. Verse 41. And then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or sick or in prison or did not help you?" And he will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Wow, that's really powerful. You know, we think of the parables as just stories, but I tell you, there's some things in there we may need to look at ourselves. There's quite confronting things there. We need to hear this because we need to remind ourselves not to be complacent, not just about what's in us and getting ourselves right before God, but helping others. Helping others is a privilege and a joy. And I just believe that if we just really take heed and just check ourselves, what could we do? Is there something small we can do? God isn't going to ask you to do what he hasn't called you to do. But we're all called to serve, and to love others is so important. And I love loving others because God's put a love in my heart for others, and I do love people. And I think if we ask God, if we're not particularly a people person or we're shy, you know, you only have to do it for the one. You just have to do something. And God is just waiting for us as a church and individually to just reach out and to love others. because that's how he's going to show himself to the world, by the love that we have. Amen. Amen. We're going to play a song. And the song's called Hymn of Heaven. Thanks, Jean. It's a new song, but it's beautiful.